You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Geeksters, we've made it. This is issue 50
yeah.
of Geek Watch 1.
Yeah.
Yay! Come on, guys!
Let's get it started! In half.
Wow. The DJ for your night will be Kylan. He didn't bring his equipment, so he's just going to sing all night to us.
I got 2 turntables and a microphone.
We got 3 microphones.
You got 3 microphones and no turntables.
Yeah, that's okay.
We can download a turntable program, and with a touchscreen computer, you can still do it.
You don't want me on two turntables. No. You don't want me on 1 turntable.
Why?
You don't even want me on a cassette player, to be honest with you. Because you might start you would end up listening to
Betamax.
I will bring some polka all up in here. It will be straight gangsta polka. Y'all don't even know.
Hey, Weird Al does that on every one of his albums.
That's what I'm just saying.
They can't see you do that.
Well, I know, but they can feel it. Y'all feel it. Feel it. Raise the roof. Whatever.
Well, Geeksters, like I said, we're at issue 50. We're at the Meeple. This is our monthly Meeple cast.
Yep.
And like we've said before, this year is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
That's 50.
This, in my opinion, is probably within at least the top 5 of the most important media properties that's ever been made.
Easily. I mean, it reaches, I was looking at it, and when you think about it, I mean, it touches all genres. It's comics, it's books, it's games, it's movies, it's TV. I mean, pretty
Kylan,
much...
Kylan, those are mediums, not genres.
But no.
You know what I mean?
Thank you, Mr. Hey.
Oh, no, okay, to be fair, all right, even if we want to go genres, if you look at the genres, they have, was it Imzadi was a romance novel? Yeah, Section 31, which is like your espionage stuff. Yeah, your typical sci-fi stuff. And there was even some of the books that address more the political and stuff. That
well, a lot of the shows went that way, too, but... Actually, if you go into some of the... Because there's been so much show... The show has been made so many episodes over the different series. There actually is, like, horror in there. There's comedy in there. There's all kind. There was a couple of actual straight-up, like, ghost story. Like, DS9 had a couple of actual horror episodes.
They did, yes.
Wasn't there an after-school special ones?
That more than they had stuff. Like, actually, The Next Generation did a lot of that stuff.
They did.
Of your public service announcement episodes.
They did. They had no problem with putting stuff in your face and then telling you what they just put in your face.
Well,
afterwards.
They even did that. The original series was doing that back in the 60s.
They were.
We're going to get into that a lot more. I'm going to give you guys a quick snippet, just real quick. Some of the numbers of Star Trek, and then we're going to get into some of our other stuff. But this show, to back up my statement, Star Trek has had so far 6 television series. A 7th one is actually coming next winter. But it's had 726 episodes across those 6 series. That's and over 30 seasons of television.
Yes.
There's been 12 movies, and we got number 13 coming this summer.
And I think it's safe to say that since it was first on the air, there's probably has not been a time that Star Trek was not showing someplace at some point.
Exactly. Well, also, you were talking comic books a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're, in the same article that got all this, they said they found out that Star Wars comic books, since 67, I believe, is when they... Or Star Trek, sorry. Since Star Trek, the first comic book was made in 67, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
every year... There's been at least one series in the in production the entire time. There has not been a year since the first one was made that they have not had at least one comic book being made.
I mean, I think in my lifetime alone, it has bounced between Marvel and DC at least twice.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, Marvel was doing the movies. Now, I think there may have been another. There had been another company that was doing the stuff from the original series.
Okay.
And then, so Marvel was doing the movies, and then somewhere in the 80s,
that was Star Trek movie comics, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then they picked up the stories after.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in the 80s, I think it hopped over to DC.
I think it was probably late 80s when they started The Next Generation.
Right, and then it seemed like for a short time it hopped back to Marvel, then back over to DC again.
Well,
but
there was a short time in the 90s, I remember, when Paramount actually started making their own comics.
That's right, yes, yeah. Because
Paramount has owned it since the beginning. Didn't Paramount buy Desilu?
Yes.
Desilu, which anybody who doesn't know, Desilu was Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball.
Yes.
It was their production company that originally made Star Trek. And it was on NBC.
It was on NBC.
We're getting way deep into this now, but we'll finish up this right here and then move on.
Yeah.
And then come back. But, Paramount bought it up from them, or Viacom. That's why it was always on syndication, and then it went on to the United Paramount Network.
Right.
And that's where CBS is actually getting the new show, because CBS is also owned by Paramount.
Right.
But I think Valiant had it at one point.
I think they did.
For a short run. Malibu, I know, had it for a little while.
Yeah, Malibu did too. Yes.
And I think IDW has it now.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's just because it's a television property.
Right.
If it's a television property of some sort, IDW has grabbed a hold of it.
And IDW is doing it right. I mean, they... I have some of IDW stuff, and if they have a deep understanding and love of whatever the property is, and they're not going to touch it unless they know that they can do it right.
They were able to pit Picard up against the Cybermen. They were able to do that.
So
there you go.
The Cybermen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's where the Doctor Who...
Oh, yeah, they've had a couple of crossovers.
Yeah.
If I'm correct,
yeah, Doctor Who, Star Trek crossover.
Green Lantern and Star Trek crossover, too.
I believe there was a Green Lantern Star Trek crossover.
They've had a couple different
back in the 90s, there was an X-Men...
I haven't read it.
There was an X-Men Star Trek crossover because I had a friend who was madly gaga because she sort of got... double Patrick Stewart in her head. So
we're gonna get into some more Star Trek here in a little bit, but first let's get into what we got. Some Geek Watch 1 news a little bit.
We do.
We're gonna be busy this week. Like I said last week, this whole week is busy. It's Monday and we're recording here at the Meeple doing our 50th episode about 50 years of Star Trek in 4 days. We gotta be at the Knight Center in downtown Akron to help load in for Oddmall.
We are.
This is our third Oddmall, or fourth Oddmall?
This is our fourth Oddmall. This Friday.
So afterwards.
I'll be going, well, that's for setup is on Friday night. If you want to come help set up, that's awesome. But Saturday and Sunday is Oddmall.
Because it was a year ago was our first public.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
It wasn't actually a public show in front of everybody. No. It was whoever's at our booth.
Yeah, because we got people coming to talk to us, and we know what we're doing.
We were still learning. Well, we still don't know what we're doing.
It was your first interviews ever.
That's right.
But I have to make a confession right here. And Don, I told Don I was going to do this. No, when we were interviewing people and stuff, and then when we got Dr. Sketchy.
Oh no, Dr. Sketchy stories.
I was like, and then you said, do they come? And I was like, oh no, he, his models said, no, you guys come too. And I was like,
he purposely wanted the models to make you uncomfortable.
See, and you wouldn't look. You didn't look. I was sitting there watching this dude.
I was professional.
Look.
I am a professional.
You are. I was like, you're like lost. You are.
I
like,
am focused.
Man, I'm serious. Honestly, if you had, you had to like roll a natural 20 to not look, and dude was like, boom, 20. I'm rolling like 2.
But dude.
5.
Dude, you gotta remember.
7.
My wife was sitting right behind me.
That's how mine was too. 1.
I don't care. He's just looking at me.
I did. I was like,
I don't think there was anything to look at.
No.
Yeah.
Besides, those girls. There was one.
Vader was. Anyway. Never mind.
Well, that bald one? You heard. Huh? Was that the bald one?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our first. But actually, there's a change for Audible for this year. Geekwatch 1 is actually going to be on stage doing a live show.
Yeah, we are doing a live show. This is our. Come Sunday? Are we doing that Sunday?
I don't know. Dawn said she saw the schedule. But. We're going to do a live show there, guys. It'll probably be 45 minutes or so. Dawn's going to give us a time here in just a minute. But expect a lot of what you get here from Geekwatch 1. We've still not figured out exactly how we're going to do this.
We make it up as we go along.
Well, that's the way we do the show anyway. Yeah. But,
and actually, here's what we do. I pull out my D20 and I roll. And, you know, depending on what we get, that's the quality of the show. I just leave it right now.
Geekwatch 1 Live is on Sunday at 10 a.m.
Oh, 10 wow. Early?
Oh. we got a work cut out for us to get some people in here.
Okay, what did either of you do to make Andy have a grudge against you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what? I have this feeling that Andy knew we were going to do the live show, and he was like, whatever else fits in, and then he slots us in where there was an open spot. No one wants Sunday at 10 a.m.
You know what, though? Everybody come into Oddmall to... First thing in the morning, when they first show up to Oddmall, has to walk right by us.
You're right.
That's true.
Man,
the doors open up, and they got to walk by.
Are
Geek
still
Watch
doing
1.
Stuff for the costume contest on Saturday too. So.
Well, we're actually hosting the stage the whole weekend.
Oh,
actually, you want to make the announcement of what Andy did for us last week and did for? Remember, we got a new job.
Yeah, we got a new job.
Wait, did he tell you this?
Yes, he told me.
Okay,
yeah. So,
go ahead.
Newsflash, Geek Watch 1. Yep, the four of us that you hear, or is it six of us, seven, eight of us?
A whatever. Bunch of us.
The whole horde of us that you listen to every week on your radios and whatnot.
We're the two...
Eight-track tapes, apparently.
What did we call it last week? Two-something dudes.
Two live dudes?
Was that it?
We're the two live dudes.
Yeah, we're the two live dudes leading the crew.
Yeah, we're the two live dudes. Anyway,
we're not doing the album covers.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, come on.
We are now over the entertainment for pretty all the Odd Malls.
Yes, we're in charge of entertainment for all Odd Malls. And Odd Malls are ginormous. He just announced two new ones.
Yeah.
We have one here in Hudson, Ohio, in a field actually right up the road from the Meeple.
Yeah, it's going to be outside in a while.
In the middle of the summer. Isn't it July?
Yeah, they're going to be like wild horses.
It's like the second weekend. It's not the middle. It's like the second weekend of July.
Okay, so like the second weekend of July, we have an outdoor Odd Mall. And then he's added...
Bart's going to whip a nay-nay for everybody to see.
Sorry, Bart.
I believe it's in October for the Hallowondress.
Oh, yeah, Hallowondress. Yeah,
that's going to be in Toledo.
Right there on the board.
He's just building the website for it now, but you can sign up for it at any time if you're a vendor.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've got some listeners in Michigan who want to join in, because Toledo's not that far.
That's Michigan, right. Indiana.
Yep.
Any of that. Hey.
That's right, Detroit. I'm looking at you.
All those Ann Arbor artsy folks.
That's right. Y'all come on down.
See, Andy was thinking of it. Andy did consider Detroit. Huh? But then Andy did consider Detroit, but he's like, you know what? We want people to actually show up to the venue.
Right.
Dude, they don't have to wear flag jackets.
The funny thing is, if he had chosen Detroit, he could have just bought the land. He wouldn't even have had to rent it because it's so cheap.
No, see, I heard that they were thinking Detroit, but Detroit said, we don't want Geekwatch 1 there. They're a bunch of hoodlums. They're a bunch of, like, troublemakers. They're rabble-rousers.
Wait, Detroit? Right? Us rabble-rousers?
Yeah, they said...
Apparently Detroit doesn't know you.
We are rabble-rousers.
Hey, our reputation precedes us.
That's right.
If we don't show up, that way we can't, like, change it.
That's right. That's right. See? Right?
As long as we don't show up, they think we're still the
troublemakers.
That's
right. They'd be like, see? Because we're gangsta.
Well, hold on. In Kylan's defense, he is a large black man. If you see him coming towards you, you're going to get scared.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Until I open my mouth. And it's like, oh, he's that guy.
He's a friendly.
That's why I like wearing... I yet to own a Wu-Tang a Wu-Tang Clan t-shirt. I want one.
You don't have one?
I know, you would think I would. Yeah. I gotta do something about that this week.
Yeah, you gotta get the yellow sun.
Yeah, this week, man. Because Geek Watch 1 ain't none the...
Okay, sorry. You can stop.
Nice censoring of yourself.
Okay, that's
the oddball news, guys.
Geeky style.
Calm down.
So these
shirts. What are you trying to do, honey? Calm down.
While Kylan's dying here, remember, geeksters.
Apparently, he didn't check himself. I did not check myself today.
Credit for losing the island up.
It's 8 months of Christmas. I didn't check myself at all. What?
So
it's
geeksters.
8 months until Christmas, dog.
I'm trying to finish this up and move on, but Kylan... As a wrap-up, guys, Oddball is this weekend, April 30th and May 1st. We're going to be on stage that Sunday, May 1st at 10 a.m., so come on bright and early, see Geek Watch 1 live.
We will have swag for you if
yeah,
you
I heard about
up.
That.
Yeah, dude, you need to check
we
the swag.
We have new swag.
Can I
new
swag. That t-shirt?
If you order one once we get them up there.
The last time, we let you know way ahead of time when a t-shirt was available. And you did not provide the cash for said t-shirt.
I'm a broke college student.
Therefore, you did not get said t-shirt.
I'm a broke college student. What do you want from me?
Hey, you were telling me how much money the government gives you when you go to school.
Yes, and then that's half my tuition. Gone.
This guy was saying how many thousands of dollars he had extra after he was done with books and tuition.
Really?
Yes, a whole negative seven. Then there's these things called video games.
Yeah. See, that's what ends up happening.
And if memory serves me right, I believe it was the street poet Snoop Dogg who said...
Wait, can you say this on the show?
I can. He said, 5 G's ain't nothing to a pimp. He did say that. Didn't he?
Yes, he did on Trailer Park Boy.
The problem is, Cameron ain't never seen 5 G's.
I thought you said you had some money.
Can someone write 5 G's on the board?
I thought he said he had
some... He will have 5 G's and he will see them.
I thought he said he had some Skrilla.
Some Skrilla.
Skrilla. Some Scratch. Some Kizash.
Not that he could spend as he wants.
Okay, There we go. He's
you sure that's five?
Five G's right there. Let the court know. Let it be known to the court that Cameron has just drawn 5 G's
on the chalkboard.
Okay, so we actually had some. Carrington wasn't actually able to make it to the show today, but he left a note for us that they actually have some happenings here at the Meeple on Saturday.
Yeah,
this Saturday, which is also April 30th. Is the international...
So wait, are you saying that you feel special because you got a love letter?
Yeah. Okay. You already know.
Yeah.
Even smells like perfume.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
I don't want to know what Carrington smells like.
Well.
You killed him.
This Saturday, April 30th, everybody, is International Tabletop Day also. So,
get your game on.
That's right. The Meeple is going to have all hands on deck here. They're going to have events happening all day. They actually have, was that John Gilmore?
Yes.
He's the designer of Dead of Winter, will be here all day, talking about the game, probably running the game for everybody to come check it out. There will also be running demos of Wasteland Express Delivery Service. And all the other... If anybody
sounds interesting. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. So, Wasteland... This is a trash truck game? Wasteland Express delivery?
Like it.
You gotta deliver your trash to the landfill?
I don't think so. I think it's like post-apocalyptic.
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking.
Your computer went to sleep, but watch out.
Oh, that's all good. But so that's happening here at the Meeple on Saturday, guys. More likely, they're going to have... they usually have like drink specials and stuff like that, or at least special drinks. And it's going to be an all-day thing from... They usually open at what, noon?
I think they open at noon.
I believe they open at noon until they'll close when everybody leaves, usually, is I think the way it usually works.
When they kick all the drunks out.
So, yeah.
So you, for the listeners who are in Northeast Ohio or you plan on traveling down this way for the weekend, you can do Con on the Cob.
No, you can't do that.
You can do Eyemaw. And International Game Day here at the Tabletop Day at the Meeple. And
it's only about 25 minutes drive apart.
Yeah.
So
from the John S. Knight Center where Odd Mall is to the Meeple here in Hudson.
And then also, you guys, the next day, you go right back to the Odd Mall.
Exactly.
To see Geekwatch 1 first thing in the morning.
So, yeah. Free admission and free parking.
To be fair, you never know who you will see at Odd Mall because a year ago, we had Steve Gonsalves show up.
From Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. They were doing a location in Cleveland, and he was wanting something to do. And a friend told him
about Odd Mall, and he showed up.
He came down. So I mean, cool. Don and I. He walked by the Geekwatch 1 table. Don and I looked at each other, and I said, "Is that?" She goes, "Wait, hold on." So then she goes, "Does the magic with the media thing?" And they're on Twitter.
He said something. Actually said it on Twitter.
And you know what the great thing about this is? They didn't get an interview.
We didn't want to bother Duke because he got pictures.
You can ask a question and then he can say no.
And I was like, he's geeking out. He's doing his thing. He was looking at toys and checking out comics.
We made sure Heather and Andy knew as well. So
yeah, and so Heather and Andy got to talk to him, so he did that part of it.
Okay.
So, you know.
So, that's the upcoming news for this weekend, guys. Yep. Odd Mall, like I said, April 30th and May 1st. Then International Tabletop Day here at the Malta Meeple. On April 30th.
Yeah.
So, and you got plenty of time to do both. And you can even come over here to the Meeple after Odd Mall.
You can.
So. Oh, and one other thing about the Meeple. You guys heard me mention this a ways back. I forget exactly when it was. When I did the Goblin Head class with Claude Raymond Design.
Yes.
He's having more of those. He's having one more come up at the Meeple May 21st.
Okay.
It's only $20. If you've seen any pictures of the stuff, the bits of art that are on the wall, he created those. I think we've had some photos on our page about it, and he'll be at Odd Mall as well selling his stuff. But
would that be the reason the unicorn is missing?
Yes, I think he takes the unicorn to a lot of events, and I think he's doing another trophy unicorn head, so that he can keep one here. But he's been working on that. But yeah, he's doing another one. $20 to sign up, and it's all materials, and you get a little mounted. You create a mounted goblin head of your very own, and he's also going
to
be.
You get to name it.
You can name it whatever you want. I named mine Maurice.
Oh.
But that's Maurice. The 21st at the Meeple. And he's also doing a class during Origins on the via booth 501. He's booth 501 at Origins. So you guys can look it up, and he will be doing it at Origins if you happen to be there for your gaming.
Okay.
We would adopt an autistic Maurice Pit.
Yeah, we saw a pit bull named Maurice that earned the name. He just looked like a Maurice, the way he acted and stuff. You guys would have loved him. He's actually probably still up there because he's been there for a while.
We can't. We have four.
Well, this one would just kind of lay in the like a lump on a log. So.
Kylan, the boxer pug, got adopted.
He did?
Yeah.
Good. Exactly.
But actually, Claude Raymond's going to be at Odd Mall. Anybody else at Odd Mall? We actually have Carmen and Vicky are going to be there.
That's true.
That's right.
So, Carmen, what are you actually making that you're going to have at Odd Mall? Speak up so everybody can hear you.
Okay, I'm making fingerless gloves right now. I also do, little stuffed animals, crochet and knit stuff, so I'll have some weeping angels and some grumpy cats and Aladdin and stuff like that, and my partner Erin makes soaps, and she's also doing lotions and lip balms this time as well, so we'll have a lot of great stuff.
Awesome. And then, Vicky, you guys have heard us talk about Fire Rose Studios. What do you have new for Odd Mall this year?
I have been working on some brand new steampunk pieces.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, actually, our friend Jessie gave her a whole bunch of new snap rings and things to play with. Some of her new pieces are phenomenal looking.
Cool.
I've got one giant showpiece I'm working on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that one. See, if I was a girl, I'd be wearing her stuff, but she doesn't make much for guys.
It's because you're always stealing things when I make that remotely booby.
You can pretend you're a girl and wear it. No one's going to judge.
I could look like a pretty princess.
You can.
I could be a pretty, pretty princess for a day.
We know how to make tutus.
Fabulous.
That's right.
That's it. You guys should be wearing tutus. We'll bring the tutus for you.
For hair clip.
Tutus.
This is some of her newest. Dawn is looking at some of the newest steampunk inspired type pieces.
Cool.
So that's it, some of her stuff there that she's been working on. She's got a whole tons and tons more of this to be made. So, but there's been a little bit of news this week, hasn't there? In the world of geekdom? Not a whole lot that we're going to cover today. But
there's been a bit.
What do we got, Dawn? Miss Dawn, our new anchor woman.
I seem to be the news correspondent most of the time. I thought one interesting thing was the Wall Street Journal actually had an article that Disney's Jungle Book has become India's highest grossing Hollywood film.
Huh.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. Now, by highest grossing, it as of this article, which was the 21st, it had made $24.6 million in India.
That's actually probably pretty good for
India. For a Hollywood film, it's good. It beat out Fast and Furious, which made 23.3. That was Fast and Furious 7, I should say. That was the last number one.
Now, how much does the average Bollywood movie make?
They actually have the comparison. The basically, the number one Hollywood movie only makes about half of, like, the number five Bollywood movie.
Oh, man. You know what it is? We don't have enough random dance numbers in ours.
We don't. We really don't. So, Jungle Book made 24.6 to be the number one Hollywood movie, but Chennai Express, the number five Bollywood movie, is 43.1 million. And the number one Bollywood movie is a 2014 flick called simply PK, made $71 million.
There was one Bollywood movie, I don't remember what it was called, I saw the action scene from it, and it was insane action scene in this movie. Kylan, you would have liked this action scene.
Is that the one where he used the chicken as a dart?
I think possibly, but there was a scene in where there's a SUV rolling, and the dude, as it's rolling, he reaches out of the window of the SUV, grabs a dude, pulls him in, beats him, and throws him out the other side as this thing is still tumbling. And it is stupid Bollywood stuff, but it was awesome to see.
Bollywood movies are just fun to watch. You can put Bollywood movies can be like 4 hours long, and they make no sense whatsoever, even if you know the language. And but they're awesome, and they have a dance number every 5 minutes.
And it has to have at least one dance number.
That's right. They have a Superman movie, a Bollywood Superman movie that you can see it on YouTube in its entirety. It has dance numbers.
Oh, man.
Fantastic.
Oh wow.
So, yeah, I did want to mention that. I think Kylan had some Marvel-y news.
Yes. Okay, well...
Is it marvelous?
It is marvelous. All right, so we have... we know we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is currently filming. And this is a kind of spoilery thing, so I'll give you 3 seconds to hit your button and fast forward, so... There you go. Okay, so it's come out today that we will get some awesomeness in the person of Nathan Fillion in this movie.
Now, he was in the first one in an uncredited role.
Yeah, he was in an uncredited role in the first one.
What was he in the first one?
He was one of the monstrous guys in the prison at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
He was a big blue guy that I think... Was it Groot kicked or something like that?
Yeah, so you couldn't even recognize him?
No, right. You couldn't recognize him, and he was uncredited.
Oh, so
it was only after
like
the
Simon
fact.
Pegg in Star Wars.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And so he will have a... He's playing a classic Marvel character. Some love, some hate. Depends on how you feel about him. He will be playing actor-turned-superhero Simon Williams, Marvel Wonder Man. Okay, so a lot of you are probably saying, who the heck is Wonder Man? Well, here's the thing. Wonder Man showed up in, I believe it was issue 9 of the Avengers, and was promptly killed. Well, I wouldn't say promptly, but, you know, he was around for a little while, and then he was killed, and then he was revived, and killed, and revived, or whatever.
In comic book style.
Now, here's
the thing. That's because in comic books, you ain't dead until there's a body, and then you're still not dead.
Nope. Still not dead.
And you're not dead.
Now,
still not dead.
Yeah.
It was somebody else, or a clone.
That's right.
Now, here's the thing.
You're only partially dead.
I was just kind of looking through this stuff, and I found this interesting. Marvel Comics then-publisher Stan Lee said in 1978, you know, years ago, we brought out Wonder Man, and DC sued us because they had Wonder Woman, and I said, okay, I'll discontinue Wonder Man, and all of a sudden, they got Power Girl, after Marvel had introduced Power Man. Oh boy, how unfair. so you know.
Well, that and then go back to Captain Marvel on both sides.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's been
but
a topic
technically,
that's still
DC's
dealing with.
Version of Captain Marvel goes a lot farther back.
Hey, but we can say in this time,
yep.
DC, they crashed on that one.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
said, you know what? We'll
they backed up
the name,
first.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so you but one, you have Shazam, Captain Marvel,
yeah.
and the other one's Captain Marvel, and you're like, oh, okay, fine.
I'll go
so,
either now.
I think it's cool that they're putting another hero, like a classic hero in Guardians. That,
yeah.
Because
yes.
like most people weren't familiar with Guardians when that first movie came out anyway.
Right, not at all.
So the fact that they're bringing others in to try and make it more familiar, and I mean, obviously you don't know what's going to happen with him if he's going to get his own vein of things or whatever, but...
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, because like in the comics, there are certain things that happen between him and other Avengers. I don't know if that's going to happen here.
And plus, haven't they said by Infinity War that Guardians are going to meet up with the Avengers?
Yes.
Like, they're all going to be in Infinity War.
Yeah,
yeah
so,
I think everybody that's been in a movie at this point
like
will be in Infinity War.
Yeah, there's
going to
be like 65 or 70 characters in it or something.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Infinity War.
We probably would.
That would be the time.
In
for
some aspect.
To
we could probably
yeah.
see Quake with the
that'll
Avengers.
Be, mm-hmm. That'll be when that's we actually see the Avengers find out about Coulson. Because as of right now, the Avengers, as far as we know, still think he's dead.
Yeah,
oh, yeah they do. All
yeah, yeah,
the,
everybody, I mean...
The movie
and,
universe thinks
and
he's
vice
dead.
Versa, everybody in the TV universe still thinks Fury's dead.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
So, that'll be the point where everybody's like, hey, you!
No, Fury was on,
nobody's dead.
On the TV show.
Not after he died.
Captain America.
No, because he in Avengers 2, he shows up and the Avengers are shocked that he's still alive, remember?
Yeah.
Because everybody else in the world thought he was still dead.
Yeah, but see, Coulson knows he's alive.
No, not...
Coulson
was
does?
It everybody?
Yeah, because of Thanos protocol. Because
it was after Captain America 2, because it was the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Fury
that's
came
right.
back and worked with Coulson.
That's right.
And that's why then...
But only Coulson knows.
Yeah.
Only Coulson knows.
Well, I was going to
yeah.
say, same for the movie, only Captain America knew that he was still alive, correct?
Cap knows that
Nick
is still
alive.
But
he was in the barn with him.
Right.
Well,
so
all the Avengers know now.
Yeah, all the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
all
yeah,
the original
now.
Avengers know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't know about Coulson. The only one who knows about Coulson is
Fury.
And Fury's a man with
Hill.
Are they so? Are they still doing Inhumans? Or is that?
That's the other one that.
Well, see. Okay, here's another little bit of news. As of last week,
I have a theory on that too. Go ahead.
I thought I saw something about.
Yeah, as of last week, Inhumans got taken off of the docket. Of the movie schedule. So we don't know.
You know what? And I think you mentioned this too, Vicky. I have a possible theory on this. Because, wasn't it a couple months ago? So I forget what movie came out or something. It was on our Deadpool speculations.
Mm-hmm.
After we saw Deadpool.
Right.
About what's the possibility of Marvel and Fox trying to work a backdoor deal the way that they did with Sony? To be able to use the characters both ways, just Fox promotes all X-Men properties,
mm-hmm.
but lets Marvel help in making them. So what's the chances that Inhumans are off the docket, let the TV shows push on the Inhumans, and we get the mutants back?
I would be so...
Because as of right now, everybody in the world agrees. The Inhumans are a replacement for the mutants. Cause we
Yeah.
Right. So everybody... Ever since, in the books, they changed
yeah.
Scarlet Witch and Pietro
see,
to Inhumans, and it was like...
We see in Apocalypse, the new trailer that dropped today,
right.
that
really
Quicksilver's
trailer,
back in the X-Men. He's being used in both.
Mm-hmm. And he's confirmed mm-hmm. he's
so,
the
yes.
son of Magneto.
Well, but
yeah,
what is
they
the chances
had
they
should
have
that
brought
there
it
is?
Here. I was like, you know, I've been waiting all this
yeah.
time. You can tell me whenever. I
well,
don't care. He's
the thing is,
we've
already seen them. Fox is not Sony when it comes to keeping secrets.
Right.
Right.
Fox can keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the chances that in the next... certain amount of time, we get an announcement that they start playing nicey-nice.
We can only hope. Mm-hmm.
And
we
then you work,
hope.
Like I said, Marvel offers them the same deal they have with Sony. So Marvel makes the movies, or helps them make the movies, and lets them do all the distribution and let them have the money from it.
Right.
You think this also is...
That would, I think, be the best, in the best interest of all of them. A unified universe is what they need.
If they, you know, I think this is what they would do. I think they will part with Fantastic Four.
Please, God, do.
They'll part with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
They'll say, okay, we'll part with Fantastic Four as long as you let us keep everything in the X universe. You guys help us make it, but we market it.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
like I said, give them the Sony deal.
I guess...
Because everybody knows that's the Sony deal, is that Marvel is making the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
And Sony's going to put their name on it and put it out there.
Yes.
So they get all the money from it. I mean, Marvel gets their cut that they get anyway, because all these movies,
the
they all have the, exactly, all of them have the Marvel Studios logo in front of them.
They're all getting
because they're all Marvel movies, whether or not Marvel Studios makes the movie.
Right. Disney getting their cheese, they get paid.
Do you think this is also to open their eyes from the Deadpool thing, like, oh, we can make these a little bit more happy and friendly if they wanted to?
Maybe, you see.
Because Deadpool was, I wouldn't say friendly, but he definitely had a lighter tone to him.
Well, the thing is, though, Deadpool was on character.
Yeah.
You know, see, and I think that maybe what, like, stopped weird. Changing the characters from what they are in the books and what people love.
But that's what I loved about it, because when I was watching that, if I didn't know anything about if Marvel or Disney owned what or Fox, I would have thought that was a Marvel-owned property. Because
a lot of people did. A lot of people...
That was really
good. There's a lot of people...
There's a lot of people that are not comic book fans that still get confused and think that X-Men is being made by the same people who make the rest of Marvel movies.
But you can tell there's a difference there with Deadpool. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's just rated R Marvel movie.
Right.
That's where... That's the one that the helicarrier being in it was the two things that brought this theory up when we were talking about a Deadpool. So... I'm thinking that I'm calling that now that there's a deal in there somewhere. So I've mentioned it more than once on the show, guys. Everybody's heard me mention this. When it happens, you'll know I called it.
Always know there's back door deals.
Well,
of nothing.
Yeah, like Vicky just said, I always end up finding out about the backdoor deals. I don't like it, but hey, someone's got to do it.
We don't need to stop
that. Don't give the casting couch secrets away.
Okay, moving on from that, I have one more thing.
Where do we go since
our next issue will be so busy with Oddmall stuff and our live show, etc., I wanted to make sure to mention this time around Free Comic Book Day. It falls, it's always the first Saturday in May. It happens this time around that it seems later because the first Saturday in May is May 7th. But check your local comic book dealer, if you have one, and see if they're participating, and also ask them what time they're opening, because I know at least our guy opens almost an hour early, because the lineup goes out the door and around the corner. If you don't know where your local comic shop is, go to freecomicbookday.com, and they actually have, just a little spot you can throw in your zip code or your postal code, because it's good in Canada too, to find your local shop that's participating.
Nice.
Now, this is legit. The comics are free as long as they have the Free Comic Book Day stamp, sign, whatever on,
although
on
some
the cover.
Although some of the shops actually limit the amount you can pull, don't they?
Yes, but, the thing is, they get so busy, and they've only ordered so much, they don't want to run out too soon. So it's not that they only let you choose one or something. I think John was like five.
Yeah, usually it's four or five
per person, which is fair because they actually get 20 to 30 comics.
Yeah,
right.
And you get everything. Like, this is an all ages thing. You get the stuff for kids, like the Bongo comics, which are the Simpsons. You get SpongeBob, Pokemon, stuff like that. But then,
do they have any of the new Hanna-Barbera stuff coming?
I don't think so.
See, this would have been good for DC.
That's coming out with all the DC Rebirth stuff at the same time.
That's coming middle of May. We're going to have to cover that later.
There is a Suicide Squad book.
Another one?
There's Serenity, Doctor Who, Civil War. Love and Rockets even has a book.
Love and Rockets just gets one every year.
Superhero Girls, which is the new show and the new action figures.
I've seen one of the shorts that they did. Those are actually very well done.
Assassin's Creed. I mean, you've got the gaming books, too.
Assassin's Creed.
At Street Fighter, The Tick has a book. There's a lot. I'm just flipping through the pages in previews where they
the Tick's
where the
coming
dealers
to
order them from. And
I think I heard something about
there's
that.
a lot of comics. So whatever you're interested in, and if you're a parent and you want to get your kid into comics and you don't know what they'll like, this is a great opportunity to go and grab a bunch of freebies.
Yeah.
And just get them interested in something. So it's been
that.
Like 10, 15 years or something that they've been doing this.
Yeah.
So,
I remember the first one. The first Free Comic Book Day, they really didn't have dedicated stuff.
Right.
I think they just came up with it. And comic shops used it as an opportunity to clear out a lot of their old inventory.
You still get that. You still get comic shops. They'll have a box by the door where they'll give away their old stuff they don't want.
Oh, that Vernon and I and Vicky all go to Kenmore Comics, and he'll have a box that'll have, like, trades at 50% off.
Yeah.
That's
the other thing. Like, our shop, JC's, he has everything's on sale. I think it's 25% off everything in the shop.
Oh, yeah.
Those, like, usually
John runs crazy sales like that, too. It's like...
One of the giveaways.
It's perfect.
And I never will forget this was a Warrior Nun trade. And I'm like, you're giving me this? Yeah. And I was like,
and then there are other publishers that don't necessarily list themselves in previews where we get a list out of that will have free books on Comic Book Day. And the other thing shops will do is if they're a large enough shop with the space, they'll have some artists and writers and stuff come in and actually sign even the free copies. You don't.
Right.
You really don't have to buy anything if you don't want to.
Speaking of that, I was shocked. I think a couple years ago when I realized how many actual comic artists are in the Akron area.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's
in Akron, Ohio, there's
a lot of them.
Comic artists and stuff. Yeah. But that's right, because Northeast Ohio was the birthplace of superheroes.
That's right.
A couple. Because
Superman was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
He was. Yeah.
And they also...
Really? Yeah. He was created in Cleveland, Ohio, and the original skyscape of Metropolis, when they just painted the silhouette, was the Cleveland skyline.
That makes me feel so... I learned
that.
Siegel and Shuster were from Cleveland. They were actually writers for The Plain Dealer.
The first Superman story, he's from Cleveland. It wasn't until the second story that he moves to Metropolis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they've changed that. That wasn't in Action Comics number one. That was from something else.
That was that from the...
Wait, he was originally in the newspapers, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was originally in the newspapers.
Okay. Yeah. So, so that makes sense that all these comic artists would be... Frank Miller used to live in Akron.
Yep. Brian Michael Bendis was in West Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Michael Bendis wrote stuff about Cleveland. He wrote a graphic novel called Torso, which was about the Torso Murders, which is a great book to read.
Which actually, that's the movie I'm in, is actually based on that. So the new movie, Kingsbury Run, that I'm working on. But... The question I had was, who sponsors Free Comic? Is that a Diamond
It's Diamond
event?
Distributors.
Because that would make sense on why it's so wide-ranging across all publishers.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
that's the main distributor for comic book stores. And
later on,
you've
got to tell me where you get that.
The other thing is, this is a way to support local businesses, too.
Yes.
I mean, yes, some of these are big publishers. There's DC and Marvel and Image and Valiant and all that kind of thing, but they're being sold through your local shops. This is a way to support local and keep things in your community.
Yeah, I will usually if there's a couple of trades I have in mind that I want to get, I will just hold off until Free Comic Book Day. I'm getting a little bit of a deal, and I'm actually helping keep my...
You're getting the same deal you'd get on Amazon or
exactly,
something.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, like you were saying just now, Kylan, guys, when you go to Free Comic Book Day, you don't have to buy anything, but do it.
Yeah.
Buy a comic book. You never know what you're going to find. Look around. Don't just walk in, grab the comics, and leave. Look around. You'll never know what you're going to find. There's every comic book shop. Huh?
What kind of peer pressure? You don't have to, but do it.
That's right.
Everyone needs a My Little Pony comic.
They do have My Little Pony comics.
Yeah,
all your bronies out there.
I have a birthday gift for
Casey.
All the bronies out there, there are My Little Pony comics. If you can think of it, there's a comic book of it.
Two years ago, me and my mom went to Free Comic Book Day. She wound up buying like 5 books, which was surprising.
See?
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah.
Vicky was always really into Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole series of Avatar comics that are between the original series and
Korra.
And that's the other thing. When you're standing in line waiting to get down to where the free books are, you're passing by all the racks and rows of all these other books, and you're like, oh, I might pick that one up. I might pick that one. So.
And especially the higher-priced items, too, that have to be hanging there. It's like,
exactly.
I've been sitting here. I've been sitting here for 10 minutes. I should buy that.
Comic shop owners are geeks. But they're also entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Smart businessmen.
So, they know what people want.
And especially like JC's and Kenmore Comics here in Akron. How long? JC's been around at least 20 years, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Kenmore
yeah.
Comics has been almost 30 at this point.
Right.
There's a reason downtown. They've been around for 20 and 30 years.
Yeah.
Huh?
That you refuse to go to.
Which one?
The one downtown that opened
I have been there.
He doesn't refuse.
When I told him, but he's like, no, I'd never buy from there. I was like, oh, my goodness.
No, we've been there once.
On the show.
You were loyalty. I was like, all right.
No, we didn't mention
perhaps,
on the show. We were talking about it beforehand.
Perhaps your pull list, etc.
Yeah.
There is loyalty to your own
That's
comic
right.
shop. But there's no reason to not go to another just to go in and grab something.
And every comic book store has stuff
like that.
That's different.
That's true.
But no, actually, every coming to Odd Mall, there is a comic shop across the street now.
Yeah,
it opened within
comics.
The last, what, year?
No.
Within the last six
within
months,
like
probably.
Six months,
yeah. Like
Rubber City Comics is right across the street from the entrance of Odd Mall.
That's right.
And they have a lot, Vernon, you're going to love this, they have a lot of old school comic book toys from like the 90s and early 2000s.
Oh, and
a lot of them.
And Odd Mall will have vendors that sell comics to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. So, Anybody, comics, science fiction, games.
I need manga.
There's manga. I think Rubber City has some manga,
all
too.
All comic shops sell manga.
Yeah.
Basically, just clear out your bank account next weekend.
Yeah. Take my money. Just take my money.
Yeah. You come into Oddmall, visit Carmen, visit Vicky, visit Claude Rains, and then go to the comic shop.
I'm gonna need
you know what, guys? We've been going at this for a while. We need to talk some Star Trek.
We do.
And like I said, there's Star Trek started, what was it, 1966?
September 8th, 1966.
What do you got on it to start with here, Kylan?
Well, okay.
You got more notes than I do.
But here's the thing. Gene Roddenberry created Star Trek as Wagon Train to the Stars. So Wagon Train was a popular series, a Western series at that point. And so this was sort of like Wagon Train to the Stars.
It was the original space Western.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was the original space Western, if you think about it. Because they're heading out in this largely unexplored frontier.
The final one, apparently.
And
even though it kept going and going and going.
The thing is, like, for years, this series was just known as Star Trek. But it wasn't until after several spinoffs that the show come to be known as Star Trek TOS or Star Trek The Original Series. Because
there was only one series.
Actually, even with the animated series, I think they probably called it the cartoon. Before we get too far from the beginning, yeah.
This is how much of a Star Trek geek I am. Did you know what Gene Roddenberry's job was when he actually sold this show? He was an aspiring writer.
Was he an insurance agent?
No, he was actually a pilot, I think, for Pan Am.
Ah!
He was a commercial pilot for aircraft. And while he was trying to sell these series, and Star Trek was the first one that he actually sold that actually went somewhere.
only went where no man's gone before.
And the show did,
they had a misstep off the top, but go ahead.
So you end up with three seasons of the original series. The first two did pretty well, but due to budgetary concerns or budgetary issues in season three. Resulted in a drop in the quality of the show, which subsequently led to the cancellation of the series. But the show continued to do well in syndication. I think, honestly,
that's where most people saw it.
Obviously, that's when I saw it.
Everybody knows about Firefly. The fans went bananas and got a... anytime a really popular show gets canceled, the fans go bananas, you get something out of it.
Right.
Firefly got their movie. Star Wars: The Clone Wars. When it got canceled, everyone went bananas, and we actually got more material come out later because they're like, you know what? We need to give this to the fans.
Right.
Star Trek was the first one to do that.
Right.
When that got canceled, people went nuts. That's when you started to get conventions and stuff in the early 70s.
Right.
Well, you also have to think about the fact there wasn't as much on TV either.
Yeah.
Right.
And especially in the geek realm.
No.
You didn't really have a lot of sci-fi. You had to get, like, your Twilight Zone, and of course you had Doctor Who and stuff like that if you could get it, but there really was not much around.
Nothing like this, anyway.
Also, you gotta set this in a time frame, guys. There was no internet. There was no online anything.
No.
You
couldn't have campaigns to get things
back. You didn't know what someone three doors down from you thought about this show.
No.
It was the back of magazines and news pages. There was no comic shops then. I mean, I think there were comic shops. Most people were getting them off the newsstands.
You're right.
You're talking about grassroots and trying...
It really was.
A really hard thing to get off the ground.
I think it was the first...
like what Gary Gygax had when he was trying to get Gen Con going.
Right.
We read in Empire of Imagination how hard it was for the different fan groups to get together.
Yeah, and I mean, Star Trek was like one of those first... I believe it was one of those first fandoms that was able to actually take its love of this and then turn it into... something to give back to the community as well. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you had a lot of the people who started their own starships that were basically...
Yeah, later on in the 80s.
Yeah, and they ended up being community-based organizations.
Actually, I got to get a hold of the Admiral up in Cleveland. I saw him in a concoction. We got to get him on the show.
All right, cool, yeah. So, the other thing is Star Trek, like, I think a lot of people only saw the... the original pilot, which was When No Man Has Gone Before.
Is that the one that had a different Kirk?
No, that's the one with Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk was the one that was broadcast as the premiere.
Shatner.
But there was another guy before him.
He's getting into that now. Yeah, I know where he's going.
Yeah, there is the cage, which features Captain Pike. Now, the thing is, the people who never got, the people who didn't get to see, people who didn't get to see the cage ended up getting to see Captain Pike in a later episode.
Yeah, they had actually taken, because I think it was in season 3, when they were losing money, when they didn't have as much money, they actually did the menagerie.
Right.
Which was, they took the cage and built a story around that.
Right.
So they were able to use most of the scenes from the cage and put it into that show and just film a couple things around it, and you got a free TV show.
Right.
It's like, you notice a lot of the shows that go 6, 7, 8 seasons, somewhere in there, they'll have one or two highlight shows showing, well, this is what happened in the first season or second season. I think Buffy's done it. All these other shows did that, where you get flashbacks to early, and what it is you're saving money because you don't have to film as much.
Exactly. And so, now the thing was, the cage did this. Now but the only person to, I think there was actually only two people who actually were a part of that.
Yeah, there
original
were two
crew.
Actors, but only one character.
So Mr. Spock, which was Leonard Nimoy, he was the only character and actor to make it over. And you also had George Takei.
No, he wasn't in the cage. Majel Barrett was.
Majel Barrett.
She actually was the cage was a first. They had a female first officer.
Yes.
Her character's name was Number One.
And they think that the heads at NBC took issue with a female second officer, first officer.
Well, also, if you watch that and see the changes they made when they did put out Where No Man's Gone Before, there are some other aesthetic changes and things that just, it was a lot better after they did. Like, the uniforms were bulky and thick. It looked like they were wearing, like, really thick wool sweaters.
It was almost like the sweaters like you would see a captain wear on a ship. It was just this bulky kind
of. It was it had more of a navy feel to it almost. Right. But it also, I think the first time you could actually see the full episode of The Cage was when it went to video.
Right. Yeah.
That was the first time they showed it anywhere.
Exactly. Now the other thing is that The Cage is set in the year 2254. But then once we get the series, it starts off in 2265. So that's another thing that explained the uniform change.
Well, that also made it nice for when they used it in the menagerie. They actually wrote it into canon that Pike was the commander of the Enterprise before Kirk.
Right.
That's where that came from.
Right. And you know, it was good because I think Gene Roddenberry cared enough about the continuation and basically making sure that you have a cohesive story that he needed to have that we weren't just going to have Pike as a throwaway. Mm-hmm. If he was going to be there, he needed to be there for a reason. And this organization has been around for a number of years and it's going to continue that way. So, which I think, you know, it works. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reason why even years later, you know, when people, I know how my friends are, we would talk about the change in the uniforms. How do we like these? Like this uniform compared to the other uniforms?
Although,
or
talking about uniforms, I think everybody will agree, the uniforms from Star Trek The Motion Picture were the worst of all the series.
Yeah, that did not make any sense at all.
The one-piece jumpsuits with a belt buckle only. No belt, just a buckle. What?
You know, I get
with technology.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I was thinking that maybe they were maybe kind of trying to go with that naval submarine, but no, it was. And I'm sitting there, I would go back and I would watch the motion picture, and I'm like,
well, let's get to the movies in a minute. We'll go in order as we're going here. Right. So you're talking about the original series still,
right? So yeah, so then. So the original series goes 3 seasons, and
It tackled a lot of complex issues and stuff,
it
too.
It did. I mean...
We were talking about how, in the beginning of the show here, we were talking about how sometimes Star Trek has the, after Vicky said, the after school special feel.
Yes.
But you had that in the original series, too.
Yes.
You had the one episode, which was all about race, about black versus white. And what it was, they went to a planet where the aliens on this planet, half their face was black, half was white.
Yep.
And the racism problem was the people that were black on the left side against the people who were black on the right side. Because yep. they're different. And it was a way of them to be able to tackle actual racial issues without explicitly saying they're racial, because the networks actually had guidelines that said you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you cannot talk about this, because of how charged the 60s were.
Right.
There's certain things they couldn't talk about, so they found ways to do it.
Yeah, because Gene Roddenberry's Earth. in the 23rd century, Earth has tackled. Earth has conquered poverty. Has conquered famine. Has conquered disease. Has conquered racism. Has conquered sexual disparity. It's done all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've become an enlightened society.
Exactly.
And the thing is. I mean, because the thing was, I mean, you had a black female officer, bridge officer. Nobody thought anything about it.
Exactly.
You had a Russian bridge officer. Nobody thought anything about it.
Well, talking about the black officer, the first ever interracial kiss was on Star Trek.
It was.
And no one, yeah. and they didn't think about it, the actors at all. They didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, we did what? Because Nichelle Nichols was just a member of the crew. She was one of the actors on the cast.
Right. It was just...
The cast had already fully integrated the way that the world was trying to figure out how to do.
Right. And it was... You had... You just had this... I mean, it was the height of the Cold War. It was the height of the women's movement. It was also the height of the civil rights movement. All of these issues are being... were being addressed pretty much on a weekly basis, but people never realized it. Like I said, there's the one episode you're talking about. It was a little bit more explicit, but at the same time, I think it showed people how stupid
mm-hmm.
that argument is.
But then again, when it came to the Cold War issues, if you watch those original series, the Klingons were what we saw the Russians as.
Yeah,
I mean, straight up, they were the Russians. They were all about war. They were all everything that that our government's propaganda machine had told us about the Russians was embodied in the Klingons.
That's right. Kirk was more or less he embodied all the an idealized version of JFK.
He was he was a John Wayne cowboy.
Yes,
he was a straight up cowboy.
Yes, and we were out there, you know. Trying to make our way, trying to tame the Wild West, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was interesting because I was talking to Don about this on the way here, and Don pointed out that the reason why that they managed to get away with addressing all these social issues is that it was a science fiction show,
mm-hmm.
and we think that a lot of people just kind of relegated it to that. They never thought of the deeper. Aspects of what the show was addressing.
They didn't pull it out into the real world. They didn't realize they were talking about the real world.
No.
Yeah, it didn't.
I mean, a lot of people didn't. Some did. But a lot of people looked at it and thought, this is just for nerds. This is a sci-fi show. There's all science-y and spacey.
Yeah, they got very creative on how they did it.
Right. And I remember, if we, fast-forwarding to... the Next Generation,
mm-hmm.
there's... Okay, you had the Trill, which was a race that was introduced in Next Generation.
Yeah,
and basically
it's a symbiote
that basically the host takes on that personality of the symbiote. Okay, so a Trill could be in love with this person, and that person could be male, and the woman and the host could be female. Okay, and they're in love, and everything's fine and dandy. But something happens to the host, and that host and the trill has to go into another body, it can go into the body of another male. And that male is going to have all those feelings and emotions, and they even address this on in an episode.
In the first episode that they introduce the Trill, they deal with this. But then, and when they went to Deep Space Nine, they actually started adding, because they had a Trill officer.
Right.
They had to change a lot of the rules and the way it worked. We can get into that in a minute.
Right.
But
most of the stuff brought out social issues, they didn't throw it in your face.
No.
It was like,
no.
This is the this is the crew. This is how they act. This is what they are. This is what this alien race is.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like, look, pay attention. This is what's going on.
Yeah. That's like the kiss between Kirk and Uhura. It just happened during the show as just part of the show.
I was going to a Southern Baptist college at the time when this episode was running, and there were people who wanted to actively boycott Star Trek, because they were saying that Star Trek was promoting a certain type of lifestyle, and I was just like,
you mean happiness?
They're aliens.
Yeah, even 20 years late, 20, 30 years later, people were still reacting in ways that you would think that they would have been a little bit more, I don't know,
open-minded?
Yeah, a little bit more. you would think.
As you said, you were at a Southern Baptist school.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, you know, I think we're going to have to break this up into a couple of shows, because already...
You just have to talk faster.
Yeah, we've not even broke the surface of this show. But we've talked about the original series some. Let's do some of the animated series. Then we'll do a little bit more overview, and then we'll come back the next time. And we'll keep on the TV.
Yeah.
Once we get through the shows on the different series, because each series we can devote a whole show to.
That's true.
But we don't need to.
But then we can come back and start talking the movies, because the movies is a totally different animal.
Right.
Tell us about the animated series. I wasn't old enough to... When I was a kid, it was already off the air, and it really wasn't in syndication much at all until you got to The Next Generation.
Right.
Then every once in a while, someone would hit a couple of episodes of it, but it still wasn't on air. It wasn't like the original series that was on the air constantly until now. I'm sure someone still is running episodes of it, even if it's the remastered series.
For one thing, it is on Netflix.
Okay.
It's available on Netflix.
And didn't the first couple of episodes, actually, weren't they just basically episodes from the original series that they just animated?
Right, they were.
But it was the original series with the original actors' dialogue.
Yeah, the original actors' dialogue. The only thing was I'm trying to remember if it... I think there was... Was it Sulu? You had Sulu, but
they
did not have...
Yeah, they had not an Andorian. They had someone else as the con officer, or the ops officer.
Right, you didn't have Chekhov.
No.
And it was weird. Like, I'm being a kid, like, I had watched Star Trek, so I was like, oh, okay, so I'm watching a Star Trek cartoon, and then I'm looking, well, where's the guy with the weird voice? You know, because that's... I didn't. I was a kid. So, it was... There was a lot of stuff for it to be a Saturday morning show. There was a lot of stuff that was over my head. And I, you know, when I would go back and I would watch it later. And a lot of these were, either they were scripts that just didn't, they were not used for the television series. Or they were like maybe little concepts that managed to be developed.
Write it for kids. Like, it wasn't a kid's cartoon.
No, it wasn't.
They wrote it to be Star Trek.
And even, if you guys remember, or if you see any of the Star Trek digests, some of those were novelized versions of the animated series stories.
Well, talking about the writers and stuff, and we were talking about how forward-thinking Star Trek was. Back in the 60s, it's amazing how many of the Star Trek episode writers were women.
Yes.
There were a lot of women writing for Star Trek back in the 60s.
Well, there was a lot writing for sci-fi in general back in the
60s. One of the big names, I think one of the biggest names that came out of it was DC Fontana, who's wrote for everything anywhere, but she was one of the major writers for Star Trek.
Yep. And Gene Roddenberry, the thing about this man was he didn't just come up with a concept that he thought would be cool and that would be around for a long time. The guy lived and breathed. He truly believed that that man could be, that mankind could achieve where they become in his 23rd century. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and okay, technologically speaking, yeah, I mean, we've gotten cell phones. We've gone from computers that are big enough to fill this room to small enough to hold in your hand, and exactly. They're 10 times as powerful.
Anybody who remembers, we've actually passed a lot of the Star Trek technology that we've already gone past where there was.
We have. Yeah.
The original communications device in Star Trek was the communicator. It was a flip phone.
Yes.
That's basically what it was. It was, you flip the grid open and you talk to it. Obviously, we don't have transporters. We don't have starships.
Still working on that.
Yep. Yeah, we're working on that. And actually, they are working on theories of warp drive. Mm-hmm. We're hundreds of years away from being able to do it. But there's stuff like in the med bay, or in the sick bay of all these ships, they have, you lay in the bed and the bed would actually tell you the vital signs of the person in the bed. We have that.
I think they have something like hypospray now.
Yes. Well, no, they've had that for a long time. It, a needleless, it's an air-powered.
Yeah.
We've had that. The military uses that all the time. If you get, when you check into the military, you go in through the, I forget what they call it, but it's where you first go through to get your shots of vaccinations.
Right.
And you hit from both sides, bang, 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 and you just walk out, bam, 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 and you're hurting. It bruises. I've not been through it, but I've talked to plenty of people who have. You don't want that.
See, as you know, so the thing is, like, we on certain levels we've achieved and we've advanced past, and that's awesome. But I don't know. There's this part of me. I'm the optimist. I believe that we can get there.
Yeah. Well, one of the newest things that we have, one of the newest technologies we have, is a Star Trek technology. Also, 3D printing.
That's
true. A replicator. That's an early version of a replicator.
Okay. So
it won't be long until you can get your Earl Grey.
I saw an article today. I should have saved it. That NASA is actually working with some students somewhere on trying to build an actual replicator. They're working on a student project with someone to build a type of replicator for use in space.
This is not the first time that NASA has used Star Trek as a guide. They actually, years and years ago, reached out to Nichelle Nichols to be the spokesperson to encourage women to go into mathematics and science. And she was a spokesperson. And, gosh, I can't even think of the woman's name now. She was on the last shuttle mission, and she...
I don't remember.
Anyway, she had thanked... Nichelle Nichols was responsible for her wanting to go into the space program. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the biggest influences Star Trek had on NASA, and one of the biggest things that people could see that actually Star Trek influencing the real world, was when NASA started their space shuttle program. The first space shuttle, when they were trying to get a name for it, they had thousands and thousands of letters sent in.
Mm-hmm.
The very first space shuttle was named Enterprise because of Star Trek. And because of the fans of Star Trek doing a major letter campaign, bombarding NASA with thousands and thousands of letters for this, and the first shuttle, and actually it was one of the last shuttles to be decommissioned.
Yes.
It was still being used when the space shuttle program finally shut down, was the Enterprise.
And if you go and you watch Next Generation, and in the captain's quarters, along the wall... is every ship that was named Enterprise.
Almost, yeah.
Well, almost everyone.
Because the original Enterprise the NX-01 wasn't...
Okay, yeah, that wasn't... they did that after.
No, they did all the starships from the Enterprise A through D.
Right. But the space shuttle was in there.
I was
like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, because it was like, you know, it was like ship. And it was like an airplane somewhere in there, then the space shuttle.
Well,
the
best way to see... what a lot of the progression was, if you watch Enterprise, the opening credits for Enterprise actually shows the naval ship, like a Wright Brothers type ship, and then it goes forward to the through the space program, then it shows the space shuttle Enterprise, and then some of the other things moving up to where they get at the time of Enterprise.
Yes, and you know that was I feel like that's like the one of the most underrated Star Trek series because I mean. The thing is, Captain Archer and that crew had no prime directive.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing to go on but their own understanding.
Yeah.
and they were out there doing it. You know, I want to go back. See, actually, Dawn's not gonna like this, but I want to go back and like watch every series.
Oh yeah,
and in progression now because
that doesn't mean I have to watch every series.
Well,
in
progression. I've loved every series they've done. I've watched every episode of each of them. The problem I think I saw with Enterprise, especially the reason why it got shortened up, a lot of it was a similar issue I had with Voyager a little bit. Was Voyager, you got launched out to the other side of the galaxy, and they're trying to get back home.
Yeah.
But it takes three seasons to get out of a small little sector that you're dealing with the same people.
Right.
Then three more seasons to get the same people.
Yeah.
They're barely moving. Enterprise seemed to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was written more like what a lot of the shows are written now, where you choose, okay, well, this is the villain for the whole season. The entire season's got to revolve around this one.
Right.
Then the next season, well, this is the final end of the season. This is what we got to do everything instead of a linear story.
Right.
And the Next Generation didn't have, it was all individual stories. You might have a two-story arc, but they were moved in a line.
Right.
They told a story.
But Enterprise
had
Porthos, and that's really all that mattered.
Well,
he's a dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, no.
Captain Archer had a dog.
Well, I don't like cats, but Data had a cat. Data had Spot.
that proves that you have to be an unfeeling individual to have a cat.
Don's favorite scene is Captain Archer is in his quarters. He's walking back and forth, and he's trying to work out a problem. And Porthos is walking along with him on the bed. And he's walking, then he turns around, he walks back, and Porthos is following him. And he's like talking to Problem. I think he's talking to Porthos the whole time.
Shut up, it got me to watch the show.
It did. So,
my dog does that to me, so, you know, I can feel that 100%.
So,
I said, this is way too big for us to cover all in one day.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking.
Fine.
You know what? This was.
Well, no, Dawn, we won't do this every. It won't be like in succession.
Well, no,
maybe
you know
once
what?
A month or
it,
once every couple of months, we'll come back.
You can wait a little bit to do another one before the or just after the big Star Trek convention comes out in August. That's in Las Vegas. They have an annual convention there. So, you know, you can do it again then. But I do want to mention one of the anniversary events because they're showing that Kylan was talking about how for the next movie, you haven't seen a lot of news about it. The final trailer for Star Trek Beyond is debuting at a 50th anniversary fan event on May 20th.
Cool.
So that's when you're going to get the next trailer for it. It'll be the event itself will actually be streamed on Facebook Live.
Okay.
So the movie itself opens in July 22nd, but they're gonna have to.
Thinking about it recently, trying to figure out what is the major difference between the new J.J. Abrams universe and the original. I mean, because everybody knows it's almost diametrically opposed from the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out in my brain what I think the major difference is. The original Star Trek, all the way through Enterprise, all of the movies, everything, is based somewhat in what we can foresee science becoming at that point.
Yeah.
We can see there's warp drive and stuff like that, but we can see a progression of this is that we could have that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Where it seemed like when J.J. Abrams did the reboot, he took it and said, you know what? Let's do this. Who cares? It didn't matter about the science. We'll write that in later. Whereas Star Trek, everything they did, they figured out the science or as much as they could before they did it so they could figure out we can do this.
Well, it's all based in science. It's all based
in
scientific principle. Like, everything that was in up to, which one was it? Insurrection.
Okay,
up to Insurrection, everything was based on scientific theory. Now, when J.J. Abrams got a hold of it, and I try not to be this guy, but I've had two movies to think about this and brood.
I like the new movies,
but it's a totally
different feel for Star Trek.
They're adventures. They're space adventures, much more than science
adventures. It's been said thousands of times by everybody the exact same thing. They are Star Trek for Star Wars fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, there's no...
Which is fine. I mean, that's the new...
You really don't want to say there's nothing wrong with that.
Obviously.
I can't say that.
Obviously, the newer generations of fans are enjoying this, which is good. Yes.
I mean, it's bringing in the fans. It
exactly.
is, but they're getting a different experience, and hopefully it's opening them to watching the series.
Exactly.
At least some of the spin-offs or the original.
And this here will actually cover more. When you have more time to prepare your thoughts and figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll talk about this one specifically, the difference between the two,
and
probably
actually,
right before the new movie comes out this summer.
You can talk about it in mid to late July when the movie's out.
And Mr. On, for you, we won't do this once a month. We'll just the next time we come back to Star Trek, we'll because we've talked about through the 70s, we'll start at the motion picture. And we'll just start chronologically. Well, maybe we'll do the movies up to the movies 1 through 6 the next time.
She knows she's about to get Star Trek'd out, so.
Yeah. So we're going to get back. We'll come back to. We'll put a pin in this right here. Next time we talk Star Trek, we'll cover the movies 1 through 6.
Okay,
so. Because 6 is a good place to stop.
Ooh, 6 is a great place to stop.
I love Star Trek 6.
I mean,
it is.
You heard it too, didn't you?
You messed up a vowel.
There was an E instead of an I.
You messed up a vowel.
I
did. You messed up a vowel.
I mean, 6.
You said
with
you
an loved I.
something.
I meant with an I. You
mean,
heard
we,
me.
You,
I heard 6.
We know
so.
You love
Thank
it,
you.
But you know.
I knew where you were going.
Thank
so,
you.
So, but. We're running out. We're starting to run out of time today. So, Geeksters, I want to thank everybody that showed up to the Meeple. Thank you for coming out, guys.
Happy 50.
Yes, Geeksters, thank you for hanging out with us for 50 episodes. Kylan, thank you, my friend.
No, thank you.
Survived 50 episodes.
We did.
You haven't hurt
Vicky,
each other.
Miss Dawn.
You haven't hurt each other.
No.
Not yet. We've not strangled anybody yet.
No, not yet.
So that would be Vicky and I will be doing that.
Yeah. But Geeksters, remember, this Saturday, as of the time we're releasing it, April 30th and May 1st, come out to the John S. Knight Center in Akron, Ohio. It's not that far from anywhere else. Like, we're, 2 hours from Pittsburgh, 3 hours from Detroit.
Hop on a plane.
Columbus.
We're just a couple hours.
We're 10
away.
Hours from Memphis, Tennessee.
We're 8 hours
I
from
drove
Chicago.
See?
You're 8
that
hours
from
like
Chicago. It's like a 7-hour flight from Europe. Come on.
Come visit us at Odd Mall. There's plenty of hotels around if you need. We're going to be doing another live show 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. And also, while you're here, while you're in town, come up to the Malted Meeple after Odd Mall and check out International Tabletop Day on April 30th also. So, Kylan, Miss Dawn, do you guys have anything new?
I think that covers it.
There's a lot more we want to do, but we gotta wait. I don't know if I like that smile.
We have to get home at some point.
Miss Vicky, do you have anything else?
Of course not.
Okay, Geeksters. Well, remember, if you enjoyed our Star Trek talk, send us an email.
Yeah.
Geekwatch1@gmail.com. If you don't want us to talk about Star Trek anymore ever again, if we're way off base, let us know. Whether you liked it, you didn't like it, anything you want, let us know. Also, head over to iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a rating and review. We need some ratings, not ratings as much, but we need reviews.
Yeah.
We want to know what you guys think of us. I mean, we've been going a year and a half, and we've got 2 reviews.
We actually got another one.
What? No, we got 3.
We got a third one.
Yeah, I think Mark gave us one in October.
No, we got just last week.
Oh, we did?
We got one last
Holy
week.
Holy moly.
What'd they say?
I was going to get it. Hold on. It's another podcast that I'm going to actually take a listen to soon and throw them a rating as well. It's called The Adult Podcast for Kids. They said, for us, genuine geeks. These guys are the real deal. GW1 gets out to local cons and does remotes, immersing themselves in geek culture. Definitely worth checking out.
Awesome.
So thank you to Adult Podcast for Kids for our 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
We ain't new to this. We true to this. I didn't know.
So, also remember, you can always
Straight
find us.
Geeks to Stack!
iTunes, Stitcher, Instagram, anywhere else, any other
and Google
social
Play
media.
Has just gone live, people. We're on there too.
GeekWatch1, anywhere you can find us on the internet. So, for Miss Dawn,
Geek
for Kylan,
watch one, nothing
for Miss Vicky,
Geek watch one,
for myself, and for everybody
Geek
in the meeple.
Geek Watch 1 ain't nothing to mess with. Geek Watch 1 ain't nothing to mess with.
Just remember.
Life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
Star Trekking across.
Jim is worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow, Jim.
Starship Captain James T. Kirk.
Ah, we come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill, man.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Scrape them off, Jim.
Star trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise under Captain Kirk.
Star trekking across the universe.
Slowly going forward and things are getting worse.
Oh, we come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill. Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow.
You cannot change your script, Jim. I'll see you, Jimmy. It's worse than that. It's physics, Jim.
Bridge to engine room. Warp factor 9.
Oh, if I give it any more, she'll blow.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.